Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on The Grave Talks, securing the dead. Being surrounded by the dead is one thing. Being charged with keeping a building safe and secure while being harassed and tormented by them is another. Glenn is a security guard at a once historic hotel building. Nearly every day on the job, he encounters the dead still roaming the halls of this once glamorous building, which had fallen onto hard times. A building allegedly filled with a dark history of murder, suicide, crime, and abuse. Is it the souls of this dark past that still haunt this building today? What are they trying to tell this innocent security officer?
I think the first thing that ever happened to me is my grandfather passed away. He was a big part of my life. And my grandmother was telling me about that before she passed away. She told me that when he passed away, it was like a couple nights after he did, he'd always come in the room the same way he did. He would tuck her on her feet, and then he let her know that he was there and then get in bed with her. And she said after a couple nights of that, he would, he kept getting in bed with her. And then, it was really devastating because he was more like my father figure. And I ended up having a couple of dreams after that because, he was pretty much my world. So I ended up, falling, into, some really bad stuff. I didn't want to eat, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then one night I was having a dream about my grandfather come to me. He said, you need to stop this. He goes, I'm fine. He goes, I'm up here with my family. It's all good. And, I kind of felt a little better after that. And, it's just been crazy since. Pretty sure. Much my grandmother has seen him a couple times. Smelt his cologne a couple times, here and there, and then my aunt's uncle seen him, and I don't know what it is, but I guess it's just like stuff that, it's kind of weird, really. Like, they would let you know that by, certain little aspects of their life that you are used to, and then they would just pop up a little bit and be like, hey, how you guys doing and stuff like that. So yeah, I've witnessed a lot of stuff growing up.
So it's always just been kind of a part of life for you, you would say, not something where, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is real. It's just been, it's been a facet of the cycle of life.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did other people, obviously you mentioned your grandmother, but everyone around you, your family, are they all the same way? Are they all able to experience these sort of things? Or would you consider yourself to be more sensitive than the others in your family to the other side?
No, I think my father's side, they've dealt with a lot of stuff. I remember a while back, I kept calling it, or I didn't write in a story about my grandfather coming back and cleaning their room and stuff like that. That actually did happen. And the only one that was up at the time was my Uncle Pee-wee. And he actually saw his dad in the room. He was kissing every one of them in the forehead, and he kind of acted like he was asleep. And this one, they were in the kids. So this had to be like maybe early 80s, maybe late 70s. Mm-hmm. And he remembers him coming into his room, cleaning the room, and watched him. But he was so terrified because he just lost his father a week before. And here he is, you know, in his room cleaning. And my grandfather, from what I understand, because I never really got to meet my grandfather on that side, because he passed away when my father was, I think, 16. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've never really got to meet him, but he hated a dirty room. He couldn't stand it.
And he came back and cleaned the room. Can you share that story?
Yeah, I did a while back I wrote it in a while back. But it was really weird, like how my father said it. He came in a couple. He told me a couple stories about after his father passed away. My grandfather used to have this chair in the living room, and they were having a party one night. And apparently, my grandfather disapproved of the party that they were having because they were all underage. Besides my uncle, my oldest uncle, and sure enough, they heard somebody like coming through the hallway real quick, and they all stopped the music and they all looked over at my grandfather's chair, and there was a perfectly good imprint of a person sitting in that chair, and they said, "All right, that's enough. That's it, that's enough." And they stopped the party. Everybody went home.
quite a shock to have something like that happen, especially with the party. And I guess that would probably break it up. Let's move a little bit more forward into present time. And one of the big reasons that we're talking today, you had initially called in to our other program, Real Ghost Stories Online, when you discovered that there were some things happening at this building that you are a security guard at. Now, we're not going to talk about the name of the building or anything like that or give any specific location details or anything of that nature. But tell me, what brought you to take this job as a security professional at this location?
To be honest, it was more or less close to my house, but I didn't know the history of this place. It just, I saw an opening and I had a little daughter on the way. So I was like, you know what? I really need the money. So, but it was kind of weird when they told me when I was in, you know, interview, they were all sitting down there like, you know, for those, cause it was like, and they're like, well, those you going to this place. He goes, I just want to warn you. There's some hot spots you want to go in there. We're all looking at each other like hot spots. We thought like crime related. No, they were talking about some other stuff. He's like, don't go in the ballroom. He goes, after this certain time, he goes, don't go downstairs by yourself. Take somebody with you. And we're just like sitting there puzzled, like, what are you talking about? He's like, dude, paranormal stuff. Just listen, please. Because we've already had guards beforehand, before the company that came before us. A guard came in, was walking up the steps, got pushed and shoved and thrown up against the wall. He ran upstairs, told everybody he was done, and signed out and quit that night.
So they had some awareness to the fact that there's things happening here. You weren't the first one to begin to experience it. Before we jump into the stories of your experiences and your coworkers' experiences, and again, without giving identifying details of what this building is or where this building is, what was the history of the building factually that you are aware of? In its location, what was it? What was it built for? What was it like during its heyday, as opposed to where it's at today?
Heyday, it was like the first, first kind of hotel, really. Mm-hmm. I guess in the area, it was built for the elite of the area, and it was more or less it was top notch of the day. It was grand staircases, grand marble, all that stuff, you know, pianos in almost every part of the building and stuff like that. But from what I understand, during a little bit past that time, the mafia owned it. And there is accountable stories where even Al Capone stayed here for the meeting. So they would have family meetings from the Midwest from New York to all the way from California, all the mobster families would come here once a year and meet up and start doing their dealings. And that could be explained why, you know, all the stuff about the furnace and stuff like that. But there is accountable proof there. They even have, they found an old chest and they found a picture with Al Capone with some of the women that used to clean this place back in the day. And they would take pictures with them as they were drinking, partying and stuff. But from what I understand, Al Capone stayed here, but he'd actually stay the night. He stayed a little bit up the way at another another hotel. He stayed there so much that they have a little room dedicated to Al Capone. It's considered the Al Capone suite.
Mm-hmm. In terms of tragedy that was documented, obviously when you have mafia and mob figures involved, you don't necessarily have a lot of documented murders unless something is caught. And of course, we'll get into that a little bit later on and what some of the rumors and some of the stories have been over time. But in terms of the property itself and there being any sort of tragedy that was documented, is there anything there? Is there any stories involving tragedy, whether it be murders, accidents, things of that nature?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. We haven't actually made a count yet, but we're figuring somewhere in the thousands. There's been, back in the day, there was people jumping on the windows. There was a little girl that fell out the window. There's another little girl fell out the window. There's been murders here and there, man. I was looking up on it, and the other guard I work with, we were going through it a while back trying to figure out some more of the history of this place. And so far, only thing we found is murder, suicide, or a robbery, robbery, murders. And it's just been insane with just, the amount of death this place isn't putting out.
Thousands is quite a steep number, quite honestly, when you're talking about a single location. Is that truly what you're meaning? That many deaths on the property?
Yes. I'm being dead serious when I say this. There's literally, I even checked up on the local news and stuff, and everything I've heard about this place has been either a murder or, suicide and stuff like that. It's just, we've been trying to dig, we even tried to find out what, the original owner passed away of. It said he died. It won't give the destination of his gravesite. It won't tell us how he died. But, it's just the amount of stuff that we found about this place, it's pretty bad.
Now, it's in a current state of renovation, but prior to it going through that, what was its life like as a building between the point of being this grand, luxurious hotel that the elite would go to and spend their time, including mobsters, and then kind of falling into a state of disrepair? Was it abandoned for a period of time? Did it just fall into disrepair and slowly fall apart, but still open to a certain extent? What was its life like for that period?
To be honest with you, it was just bad ownership. This place used to be, apparently back in the day, it used to be really beautiful. And you can still see some of the artwork and stuff like that from where they, when the old owners used to own it, they ended up shutting the ballroom off because a pipe busted. They didn't fix the pipe, so the pipe was literally filling the ballroom with water, and they just boarded it up, residence apartments and stuff like that. It's just, there was holes, from where the water would pour in from the ceiling, stuff just like, it was just really bad. This place almost got demolished, but due to the rich history it's had, they actually saved this place, which, that's really good because, depending on how many people lived here and, pretty much lived their life here. This place is really good in rich history with celebrities staying here and stuff between going to, concerts and stuff. They can even document from Michael Jackson to James Brown to a lot of big high celebrities at the time staying at this place. And back then it was, again, top place to actually stay at.
And then at some point just falling into disrepair. And unfortunately, we see that in so many areas of the country where you have these once grand buildings and grand hotels that for one reason or another, whether it be finances, they can't keep up with the maintenance of them. And then they fall and begin to decay over time, and their grandeur slowly fades away. But you can still see the remnants of it. That's always been very fascinating to me with buildings like that.
Yeah.
So it's essentially in a state right now where they're trying to pull it out of the decay, from what I understand. Is that right? And trying to renovate this back to a hotel, back to residential living. What's the ultimate goal?
My apologies. Go ahead.
Oh, so what's the ultimate goal?
It's right now, it's still at a residency, but it's a lower income. But I'm just going to throw the number out there. I asked the guy that who actually takes care of the property now, and I asked him, I said, I wanted to know, I was like, you know, you guys are spending all this money. Do you mind if I ask how much you've got spent so far? And they said, oh, yeah. He goes, I have no problem with that. He goes, we spent $76 million just to get it to back into the form that we've got it now.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a lot of money to put. But it's worth it. You know, that's what they've been talking about. It's such a beautiful plate.
And to not let it continue to decay, that there's something to be said for that. So with renovation, quite often comes disturbances, especially in older buildings where there is quite a storied history. Do you, from what you've understood, I'm going to ask the question of ghost stories that you've heard in the building. Obviously, when you went there for the job, they had told you, you know, we had a previous security firm that had members of the staff who left because of what they experienced. But even prior to that, prior to a security firm having experiences in the building, had there been paranormal stories from its residents that were just living there prior to the renovation beginning and everything?
Yes, I can vouch for that right now. I still get calls at night saying, you know, stuff happening. Hey, you know, I think somebody's in my apartment. We'll go up there real quick, check it out. Nobody's in the apartment besides him. And then as soon as we start walking out the door, TV turns back on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, okay, that's kind of weird. And they were standing like, how do we go from this? How do we do this? And the lady just starts, you know, I'll say a blessing. It's okay. Thank you guys for coming up. And that's how it ends.
They're just used to it because it's been going on for so long. Have the residents said that it's increased in recent times because of all the renovations?
They actually hate the guy that actually going to the construction. They hate him because this stuff wasn't as bad as it was until he came in and started fixing. It needed fixed, but they literally do not like the guy. But he's actually trying to help him out. But they always tell us that this wasn't happening before you guys came in, or this wasn't happening. Now I got this going on in my house and because of you guys.
And I'm sure it's not necessarily any sort of nefarious intent from that gentleman. He's just doing his job. And unfortunately, when you do that to older buildings, sometimes that does stir things up. There's no one that can control that. It just seems to happen. And it's luck of the draw if the building's going to have that reaction or not. So let's get into the world of you being a security guard at this building. When you heard these stories in your orientation of paranormal activity, what was going through your mind? Did you believe it? Were you scared? What were you thinking?
I'm pretty much used to it now. Just, I never experienced some, like, half the stuff that they have going on here in this building. It was something I was used to, but then again, like, some of the stuff kind of threw me a curveball, and I'm like, okay, wow, that just happened.
What was your first encounter, your first experience in that building with the job that made you raise an eyebrow going, oh, I think I'm having an experience right now, too?
I think there's kind of, like, two.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, them telling about it, and I was sitting down with my partner one night, and it was the middle of, you know, right when it started construction, so I don't know if it was, you know, if I could say, well, that was something paranormal, but it kind of points that way. I was sitting down with my partner about, I think 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe, and it was quiet, nobody was up, so it was just me and my partner. She was on my left, and I was on the right, and we were sitting in the middle of the lobby, and all of a sudden, I heard, like, what it sounded like, two women were talking, and they sounded very distinguished, like their voice sounded more or less like it was from way back in the day. And I was just sitting there like, what the hell is that? I looked at my partner, I said, hey, you know, do you hear that? And she was playing music, and she goes, no, it might be my music. She goes, well, I was like, well, can you turn it down real quick? She's like, yeah, I'll just go ahead and turn it down. We're sitting there, and it sounded like two ladies talking to us on my right side. And I said, that's fucking weird. She goes, yeah, but I think the most one I've ever, like, it scared the crap out of me. We got a noise complaint from inside the ballroom. At that time, it was boarded up on all sides besides one side. You had to have a special key to get in there. I walked in there after the complaint. They said there was, like, somebody in there screaming or playing or something. The lady didn't really want to talk about it much. She says, I know this coming from the ballroom. So, okay, fine. So, I said, all right, I'm going to go in the ballroom real quick. I'll be right back. I took my big flashlight with me and took a radio, and I walked in there. And I opened the door, and it sounded creaked out because the old door they had on it just creaked really loud open. I walked in there. It was pitch black because they had the windows and stuff covered up. I started walking around. I didn't hear nothing at first, see nothing. Then all of a sudden, my flashlight flickered, and that kind of made me jump. And then I heard like a little girl laugh, and that scared the shit out of me right then. I was like, okay, wait a second. I started to back up. Then I seen something look like a little, like, I can't explain it, but it looked like a cloud, like a little black cloud. It went to the left, and then I flung my flashlight real quick. I already had my gun in my hand at that point. It went to the right. I was like, all right, I'm backing the hell up. I started backing up, and I started radioing the radio. I said, hey, there's something in here with me. I don't know what the hell it is. She goes, you might as well get the hell out of there. So I started backing up, and then right when I turned my turn around for the last time, my flashlight hit the wall, and a little girl was standing there. I've never been so scared in my damn life that I'm getting goosebumps right now. I ran. I never, ever went back in that ballroom until it's been finished.
You saw a little girl standing there. Can you describe what she looked like?
You ever, like, oh, man. It was like, it was a couple seconds glance, but I knew I seen a little girl. It looked like a little white dress or something, but I was so scared, man. I ran. I wasn't messing with that shit. And then after that, I went there, wrote a report about it, and my boss got the report about a week later, and he said, so what happened? And I explained to him, and he said, dude, that's why I said don't go in the ballroom. There's too much stuff in there since the construction and stuff. It's making stuff go crazy in there. And I believed him after that. Like, I just thought he was messing around and stuff like that because, it's an old building. You think, it's got to be haunted. No, that night, for sure, I knew right then and there that it was haunted. Like, I didn't want to go nowhere but myself. We used to have a rover come with us, and if we end up having to do a round and he came with us, if it was our turn to do a round, we took him with us. Some of the shit that goes on in this place still to this day, like, most of it's calmed down, but man, that night I almost quit. That was a pull and pull. That was like more or less like, okay, I got to make a decision, either quit now or, man up and do this.
What made you decide to stay?
The little girl saying help or saying hi. Well, I like him. My apologies. That right there kind of drew to, the softer side of me. To me, at that point, I looked, I said, all they need is help. Like, that's what they need. And I was out there by myself one morning, again, about 4 o'clock in the morning, smoking a cigarette out front. No cars, and it was dead quiet. And usually that's when we know something either bad's about to happen or something is about to show itself. Because it will literally get dead quiet. And when I mean dead quiet, you can literally hear your breathing. You can hear your heartbeat. And we'll look at each other. And when I'm with the other female guard, I'll look at him like, oh, here it goes. And then sure enough, either something come walking out or a door will slam or something will open up.
The initial thought being that these things need help, and that's what they're saying, and that's what's being portrayed to you. Do you have is there any discussion with any of your coworkers or anybody about who this little girl is that showed herself to you?
Yes, we believe she used to sing to the contractor downstairs. And when the first contractor got here, he's still here, but he really don't. He since the building's almost done, he's hardly here. He's at another project. But he literally went down there one day, or no, I think it might have been like nighttime, somewhere around there. But he came down there and was trying to clear out, see where he had to put, where he was able to put his tools and all his new equipment and stuff. And he was down there and he thought he was alone. And he started walking around and heard a little girl start singing, and then she was whistling and then back to singing. And he probably thought that somebody was lost down there. And he goes, hey, you guys can't be down here. He took his flashlight, started walking around. When he got close to singing, it stopped. He walked into the room, and there was nothing there. He said, oh, it's that kind of singing. All right. And then he went on about his day like it was nothing else.
Almost as if this is just part of the building and he's used to it, and yep, it is what it is. So you had the experience, you kind of had the moment of grappling with the idea of staying or leaving. Obviously, you chose to stay. Continue on. What were some of the next experiences that you had after making that decision to continue working in this very haunted historic hotel?
I think the one that sticks out to me most is it has to be on the fifth floor, man. It's not only been me that's had experience up there. There's been what I've looked through the newspapers and stuff. There's been about two murders, but one was actually a little girl and her grandmother. Apparently, a guy found out where they were laying or staying at and went up there and killed both of them. I don't know what happened to the guy. He really didn't say anything else about much about the guy, but there's another guy up there who most of the residents still remember to this day that he was up there doing his own business and he was going to go to sleep, and his friend came over and he told his friend, when you leave, just, you know, lock the door for me so I don't have to get up because I got to work in the morning. And it was more or less a setup. His friend was another guy was outside. His friend purposely left the door open. Dude came in with a shotgun and killed him. Point blank range with the shotgun. And ever since then, it's just the fifth floor is like, I haven't felt it like that in a while, but when I was first started here, that fifth floor, it out of any other floor, it just gave me the creeps. Like, it felt like people were like nonstop just eyeing you down so hard. Like, it when you walk through, you have to feel like you have to shake it off. And you know, there's other guards that walked up there and felt like something jumped on their back and like literally walked around with them until they left that floor. You know, it's the fifth floor. I swear I could not do it. I literally would walk almost a couple feet down to the hallway and have to turn around real quick because it feels like somebody's trying to rush up against me. And I'd start to reach for my flashlight and my, you know, either my pepper spray or my gun and start to pull it and turn around. There's nobody there. And it's just, I can't explain the feeling, but that shit is really bad. It was really bad back in the day, like when I first started. It was just insane. I've never felt that much energy in my life. It just, as soon as you like get that like you're being watched feeling, and all of a sudden you just feel a burst of energy come running at you, and like you're literally standing there just shaking like, what the hell was that? And you can't explain it because nobody's standing in front of you or behind you. And I will literally walk down the hallway sideways because it felt like every time I started to turn my back, it felt like it was just going to come back at me again.
It's something that you've gone to all the floors on the building as a security guard. And you're saying there is that distinct difference of a feeling on that floor than, say, the sixth floor or the seventh floor. If you're on the fifth floor, you could almost with your eyes shut walk onto that floor and know what floor you're on because of the feelings that overwhelm you.
Yes, it's more or less, I guess, the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some floors in here that are, you know, somewhat pretty bad, but, man, that fifth floor, like, it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different vibe. At some points, like, we use walkies throughout the building, and only in, like, certain areas we thought for a while that it was probably bad signal. No, we'd walk around there on the fifth floor, and it would lose signal throughout the whole floor. And then some days you get up there and it's like a different energy and a different atmosphere. And then the walkies would literally work throughout the whole floor. And then on others, it wouldn't. And then there's some places where you walk through and you'll feel really cold real quick. And then the static and the radios would come out really loud and then stop as soon as you get out the cold spot.
This is kind of a chicken before the egg question. And it's completely an opinion-based question. But what do you think happened first that on the fifth floor? These tragic events that then brought on this feeling, this negative energy now that lingers? Or do you think there was something negative there that was lingering that then the individuals who were always on that floor, who lived on that floor, or spent a great deal of time on that floor, just got so overwhelmed that it drove them to commit the heinous acts that they did because of that energy, that atmosphere that they were constantly surrounded by?
I think after the first, man, I think after the first murder, it has to be after the first one, because people wouldn't say anything about it, you know, after the first murders, besides, you know, two people lost their lives. But after that, it was, they said it was a whole different, like, feeling when you walked up there. I think those killings kind of attracted something really bad, because now we're only getting stuff, like, and the like, fifth floor is completely changed now. That, you know, me, I went up there with some sage before and blessed the whole floor, and I sage really heavy. I used almost the whole stick on fifth floor and went out through the whole building, but now it's more or less like a different feeling. It still doesn't have, it still has the feeling that it did back then, but not as bad. Many more nowadays, it's to the fourth floor, third, and second, and first. There's like, we're getting guards, Sam, telling me that I'm being touched down there. I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to combat that. Like, maybe bringing a cross or something, bless yourself or something. Or we have a church right across the street. Like, maybe go talk to them. Because, you know, that's what the head contractor did. It got so bad that, you know, he was being attacked almost daily with either going down to where the old wine room was, that he went across the street, got a cross blessed, and he wears it anytime he comes in his building to go down there. There's just so much stuff down the basement now, and now we're still finding out stories that happened downstairs and stuff like that. It's just, you know, more stuff is coming out downstairs than it is even up through the building now. So the last story I heard was from a lady the other day, or I think about a week, maybe two. They've seen the tall man in the stairwell, and that's the last thing I heard from anybody. But there was one guy here, and he says, "Man, I'm gonna have you come. I'm gonna have my kids come down and tell you some stories." I said, "You talking about like paranormal stuff?" He goes, "Yeah, buddy." He goes, "I thought they were lying, but," he goes, "man, the stuff they're telling me is linking up with most of the stuff that people are telling me." He goes, "I'm, you know, kind of scared for them, but, you know, they'll tell you some stuff, and it gave me goosebumps when they told me. He hasn't came down yet to tell me any of this stuff, but he keeps telling me. He goes, every time he comes by, he goes, hey, you know, I'm gonna have my daughters come there and talk to you, and I guess you just get sidetracked or whatever." But, and the biggest thing now they're finding is wet spots in the middle of the floor, and they went through the building, they've combed the building, there's no pipes leaking anywhere, so they even checked the floors. So where is these wet spots coming from? And they're only in certain spots. So one either be in the kitchen or in the master bedroom, and nobody knows what it is. And when they'll leave it for 30 minutes or an hour, and then come back and it's gone. But then, you know, there's been days where it literally has not rained at all, and they'll come home and there's a wet spot either in their kitchen or in their bedroom.
That wraps up part one of our interview with Glenn about securing the dead. In part two of our interview for Gravekeepers exclusively, which you can hear by becoming a Gravekeeper at patreon.com/thegravetalks, we'll ask what happened when some employees tried to stir up the ghostly activity in the building foolishly. What dark discoveries have been made in the basement of the building? Why did a psychic believe that there were hundreds of souls inhabiting the structure? Does Glenn believe there's anything demonic or non-human haunting the building? Has anything or anyone ever followed Glenn home from this haunted hotel? And how have these entities affected Glenn and his family? All this and more in a great part two interview. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.